to be a soldier. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and we're thankful for those who served and are serving even now our nation, Lord, on watch, Lord, on duty. Lord, we thank you for them, Lord, and we have the freedoms that we do have, protecting those freedoms, those rights that we have. Lord, we thank you for those soldiers of Jesus Christ, Lord, that's gone on before, serving you and being faithful, Lord, to you, Lord, and to your cause. And Lord, nothing more important than that is, and that's the gospel and our salvation. So we lift up this message to you this morning, the rest of our service. I pray speak to each heart that's here, Lord, that maybe somebody here not sure about their salvation. And we pray today will be the day they get it settled. Lord, get it settled with you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message, On Duty. Those of you that are in the military know exactly what I'm talking about being on duty. And, you know, we saw some footage, and we see most all the people here. Of course, we've all been in the military, some retired, some got out of the military. And but right now, all over the world, right now, while we're speaking, while we're breathing, there's men and women that are on duty right now, 24 hours a day. There's military folks all over, away from their families, away from home, and they're on duty today. There's ships all over the ocean that are manned. There's planes in the air right as we speak right now that are just cruising, even the continental United States and overseas other places, but on watch, on duty. There's men and women manning bases all over the world. You know, we have there's a Navy base in the South Pole. It's the coldest place on earth. It never snows in the South Pole. Did y'all know that? It's white and all that, but it's not snow. It's just moisture that is frozen. That is the coldest recorded temperature on earth has been in the South Pole. We've got bases all over. Like I say, there's submarines under the sea. There's people that are operating radar, sonar. We have spy planes in the air. My father was in the Army Air Corps, and then when it turned into the United States Air Force, so he was right in the transition. But when he got out, he was civil service. My dad helped maintain all the electronics in the mid-Atlantic for guided missiles. There's guided missiles that protect this country all the way around. When I was a kid, I would go down, I went with them, they're underground. We'd go down these long tunnels, man, them things roll out on railroad track like wheels, they'll roll them up and ready to go, and they have to be maintained, keep the electronics running. So my dad worked on guided missiles, radar, and everything that's associated with that. A lot of you probably didn't know that, didn't know my dad, but that's what he did, kept up with that. So our country's well defended 24 hours a day, but somebody's manning that stuff, somebody's watching that stuff, and day, night, winter, summer, hurricane, it doesn't matter. You know what? A lot of you don't know this. Probably I was in the Navy, so I know. You know what? You know where the Navy ships go when there's a hurricane coming in? They go out to sea. They don't stay in port because they'll get beat to death on the pier, and or they'll get stuck and they won't be able to do anything. So I was stationed in Florida, a lovely place to be on a ship. And so when a hurricane comes in, you get on a ship, you go out to sea. How's that? It's fun. I've seen the whole ship except the bridge underwater, literally, honestly. I've been on the bridge looking down, and I could see both sides down both decks, and the whole ship was underwater quite a few seconds. It went up and down. It's great. And I used to think, I wonder if the captain knows what he's doing. Just, you know, I mean, I got faith in God, but I just wondered about that. And so we think about it, holidays. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, 4th of July, their birthday, somebody's on duty somewhere all the time, keeping watch. We're protected, you know, we ought to think about that. A lot of hours, and I'll talk to you a little bit about it along the way in the message this morning. We look in our text this morning, and the Apostle Paul, he was writing a letter to Timothy. Timothy was going to be and was a pastor. But everything that Paul wrote to Timothy would apply to every Christian as well. And he's encouraging him and instructing him for things that were going to lie ahead in his life. And Paul was in prison. Here's another soldier of Jesus Christ. He was in prison for preaching the gospel at this very moment when he wrote this letter. He was facing death as well. And he knew about being strong in grace. He mentioned that to Peter or Timothy about being strong in the grace and about endurance and about faithfulness and about commitment. A lot of people had forsaken Paul at this point in his life. We know that Luke was with him, and he was asking Timothy to come, and he wanted Timothy to be around. But a lot of other people had just forsaken him and fled away. And he wanted to talk to Timothy a little bit about some things that were going to lie ahead for him. And as I said, everything that he spoke to him about would apply to Christians today. And I want to look just three quick points for you this morning, looking at the parallel between a person in the military and a Christian today. I don't know that this is the most evangelistic message, probably not, that I've ever preached, but it really speaks to the heart of those of us that are saved. And I know that God can take things that we say and He can speak to any heart, and we're preaching the Word of God, and even for somebody that may be lost. The very first thing that we see is enlistment. Enlistment. In verse 4, it said, Timothy, it said, who had chosen him to be a soldier right there. Now, notice some of you guys, a few of you mentioned, I went in 76. Some of you went in 74. 74 was probably around the end of the draft. I did have a draft card. I did have to sign up for the draft. If you were in high school, they wouldn't draft you out of school if you were in school. And so when the draft ended, I was a senior, and I didn't have to go. My number, the way they worked it, the lottery worked, they announced it on the radio. The third date that they called was my birthday. If you got called that early, you were definitely going to be drafted, you know, but I didn't have to go that year. The next year, the draft was over with, and I had graduated high school, went to work, and I joined the military. I was 20 years old. That picture that you saw, I was 20 years old in that picture. I enlisted myself. And that's how it is nowadays. We don't have the draft going on right now. We haven't had the draft since Vietnam, I don't believe. And so what we have is people that we enlisted, we volunteered, we joined up. Some people say, well, you know, they might think you're not wrapped up too tight. Well, no, we're not wrapped up too tight. We'll be the first to agree. You know, we're not wrapped up too tight, but we volunteered to do that. And it was of our own free will. Nobody forced us to become, in the military. And we think about, when we talk about trust in Christ, listen, nobody's forcing it, you know, to trust Christ, to become a Christian. There's a call. I believe God calls and speaks and draws men to Himself, but He doesn't force you. He didn't make robots. We've got a will. We're made in the image of God, and that's not physically, but it's characteristically. And one of God's characteristics is He has a will, and we have a will as well. And there's people that don't agree with that, and that's okay if they do, but I know that we do have a will. I can prove it to you in 10 seconds or 5 seconds as well, because if you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, let me ask you this question. Do you always do what God tells you to do? Do you ever sin? Do you ever sin? Did God lead you to sin? You had a will. Huh? You had a will. That's right. And so here's this. So nobody, God doesn't force anybody to be saved. And He draws them, He speaks to them and all that. And I know that God, there's a lot at play there. God gives you faith to believe. God puts His love in you. I understand that, but you still have to act on what God does. And so Jesus said to His people, He said, follow me, follow me. And it was up to them if they were going to follow or not. And listen, when these people did follow Jesus, and when you decided to join the military, it's the same way. Listen, the people, these men, like Timothy and Paul, they forsook everything. They left it all behind. They left it all behind. I remember when I joined the Navy in Falls Church, Virginia, and then the Armed Forces Indoctrination Center, AFES, was in Baltimore, Maryland for that area. And so the day I was going to go in, me and a guy named Gary Ford, we went in together, spurred a moment. We went in, and they got us on a van. And they go around to a couple other recruiting stations and picked up the other guys that were going that particular time. They were going to take us to Baltimore, Maryland. And I remember getting on the van, and all of a sudden, boy, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Buddy, you joined up. You are not your own any longer, man. You belong to the government. You know, they got a little saying, your heart may belong to mama, and there's another body part that belongs to the government right now, whatever branch of the military. And that's what happened. You know, that's what it was. And you know what? You became aware of that. I'm in a van. And I'm in a van, and they're taking me, or I'm going around the Capitol Beltway, and I remember looking out the window thinking, what have you done? You know, what was I thinking? You know, and I mean, all of a sudden, you're not in control. And you're You don't belong to yourself. Technically, you are U.S. government property. I'm going to tell you what, it's the same when you, listen, when you trust Jesus, huh? I mean, I'm not talking about some profession somewhere at some altar, some baptism somewhere, some church membership. I'm talking about when it's a real deal, man. I mean, when the Holy Spirit of God's in your heart and you're saved and you're a child of the God, you're a child of the King. I'm going to tell you something. You don't belong to you either. You belong to Him. Huh? And I'm going to tell you what, and He's the one that's leading us where we're going, and He's the one that's doing everything for us. I'll say something about that in a second, but that's how it is. There's a commitment. Listen, you can't halfway, go down there and tell the chief, whoever you had to deal with, sergeant, whatever, I think I'll be in there after a while. I'm going to sleep in just a little bit this morning, Chief. I'll come on down there if I feel up to it and help you out. Nah, man, I'm going to tell you what. You got to be about halfway dead sick before you don't go in. You got to go. There's a commitment. And I'm going to tell you what, when He went to that cross, there's no halfway committing on the cross. Huh? It was all or nothing, man. I mean, He gave His whole life. He gave His blood to die for you and I. He couldn't halfway do it. He didn't do it when He felt like it. It was the Father's will, not the Son's, because He said, if this cup could pass from me, He said, let it be so. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But then He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you joined the military, you might as well say that. It ain't your will. They didn't ask, well, how would you like your eggs today, huh? What time would you like breakfast to be served, huh? Where do you think you would like to go? I wanted to go to Key West. I want to go to Hawaii. No, they tell you where you're going, and listen, what happened? There's a commitment there. It's all or nothing, and that you can't serve in the military when you feel like it. And I'm going to tell you what, serving God, I know I've been pastoring 6 years or something like that. There's times I got to serve whether I feel like it or not. It doesn't matter what my gender, what other things are. Sometimes I've got to do it whether I want to do it or not. And it's that way for all of us as Christians. Listen, we've got to sue. It's not, worrying about your spare time, your hobbies, what you have to do. And like I say, the military doesn't worry about it either. And so it's all the way, or nothing. And when I went into the service, that when I get in the van in Falls Church, I'm going to tell you what I had. Now I had some things elsewhere, but I had nothing but the clothes on my back. That's what you go with. And pretty soon they relieve you of most of your hair. That got a lot lighter because I had some pretty hair. Boy, my hair, let me see your hair, Brianna. Turn around there a little bit in the back. Let me see that. I think my hair was a little bit longer than yours when I went in, huh? That was in style. They got rid of that in 5 seconds, huh? 5 seconds, buddy. Everybody was standing outside going, Gary, is that you? Daniel, is that you? I said, yeah, it's me. Boy, it felt pretty good, though. When it got done. I went in nothing. And I'll tell you what. I had trust that the United States Navy was going to meet every need, not my wants, but they were going to meet my need. Guess what? They gave me brand new uniform, winter, summer, spring, and fall. Huh? They fed us. We got a meal. We got a place to stay. They even gave us a job to do. Huh? They give you something to do. Might not be what you want to do, but they're going to give you a job to do. Now, you had a choice. You could sign up, like, what rate you wanted to be and everything. Went to be a welder. What a dumb choice, man. I mean, why not? But anyway, went to be a welder. And that's what, I wanted to be a welder. Went to Navy welding school. But you got that deal. But the rest of it, it was a lot going on there. So, but they met every need. I had three hots in a car. I told the church a few weeks ago. I remember one time we got paid every 2 weeks. Got paid at 3:30 on Friday, and at 7:30 I had $12 left to last 2 weeks. Huh? But the good news was, guess what? Had a bed, had three meals a day. For being stupid, that was a good place to go. If you're not too bright, this is the place for you to go. If you're going to blow your whole paycheck on Friday, at least you got, some place to eat and sleep and all that. So all those things happen. And they took care of every need. Listen, see, it's the same way with Jesus Himself. Man, we trust in Jesus everything. Listen, David said, I was old, now I'm young. I was young and now I'm old. And I have yet to see the righteous forsaken. Man, I mean, what God, he said, begging bread. He said, I haven't seen him begging bread. I haven't seen the righteous begging bread. I'll get it down there. It's in there somewhere. Just, But yeah, God provided, man. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord's going to provide everything you need. I'm going to tell you what, he's going to give you a direction, just like the military did. Go that way, go this way. They're going to give you direction. He's going to provide your needs. He's going to provide your food and all the spiritual things that the Navy didn't give me. All the spiritual needs. He's going to meet all those things. He does the same thing, fully trusting. We can fully trust him for everything that we need in life. I mean, everything to be a parent, everything to be a spouse, everything to be a Christian, everything to be a servant of God. We can trust him for all those things, and you know, and everything will be provided for. And I'm going to tell you what, we get a lot more than we got out of the military, out of that deal there, because we got the love of God. We got wisdom. We got grace. We got joy. We got peace. We have eternal life, and we had power. I mean, man, I mean, everything. My company commander, when I went to boot camp, my company commander was a hard hat diver. You know, the divers that wear the big, there was only 300 of them in the United States Navy when he was in there. And they're rare as hen's teeth, I'm telling you. But he was a hard hat diver. He told us some stories about it. Chief Pample, never forget that. But we got there, you know, and you get to boot camp, and I mean, man, you don't know what's going on. They don't tell you, okay, here's the agenda for the day. You know, this is what we're going to do. No, you don't know what it's going to do. You know, you march you somewhere, and boom, you got a haircut. March you somewhere, you got a bunch of clothes that smell like mothballs. Then you got to march down there and stencil your stuff on the right-hand side. You know how many idiots stenciled them on the wrong side? have them on both sides. I mean, they stencil all your stuff up for you. And they marched you around. And my chief, I remember, he come in there, and he said, you know, and they're talking real rough, and they're walking to me. I'm going to tell you what. He goes, for the next 9 weeks, I'm going to be your daddy. I'm going to be your mama. I'm going to be your brother. I'm going to be your sister. I'm even going to be your dog. He said, that's what he thought. He said, this is it, man. This is the guy. You know, and whatever he said, that's what we did. We followed him wherever we went. And I mean, you know, he didn't lead us astray. I will say that. But like I said, they didn't ask you anything. They didn't tell you anything. You just followed them. You figured they knew what they were doing. You might not like where they led you. You might not like what's going on. Like vaccination day was a lot of fun with them air guns on each shoulder. Ba-boom, boom. I mean, man, it's, you know. But we trusted them for that. They provided everything. And, you know, it's the same way with trusting God. Listen, man, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, listen, is there going to be trials? Yes. Is there going to be tribulations? Yes. Is there going to be some heartbreak, some sorrow, some burdens in life? Yes, it is. But I'm going to tell you what, he's going to go with you every step of the way. He's going to provide every need that you have. And I'm going to tell you what, you can trust him every step of the way. Like I said, my ship one time was about halfway underwater. I wondered. It was the only time in the Navy that I ever thought, man, I wonder if this guy knows what he's doing, man. Should we be out here? It was rough, man. I mean, the whole ocean was white because it was foam, and it was just like being in a washing machine. I said, man, this guy was only a lieutenant. I said, I wonder if he knows what he's doing. I mean, I got faith in Jesus. You don't have to wonder about that. You might wonder why he's doing it, but you don't have to wonder if he knows what he's doing. But with man, you know, it's a different deal. You have to do that. But we went where they led us, and so we had an enlistment there, and we joined up of our own free will. But once we joined the Navy, there was responsibility. We signed on the dotted line. I was in for 3, and I was going to be there for 3, and I was going to have to do, you know, what I had signed up for. And so there was an enlistment there. And listen, we've decided to follow Jesus, huh? And what did he tell us? He said, take up your cross daily and follow me, huh? You know, if any man love me, you know, keep my commandments. That's what, you know, that's what he told us to do. You know what? He's going to provide everything for us to do it. The second thing is we see endurance. In verse 1, he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Now, you know what? Our strength now, what he's talking about is in the Lord ourselves. The gifts that God gives us, the Lord gives us, are in the Lord, of course. It's not really speaking there about physical strength. Now, in the military, listen, some physical strength, there's going to be some physical strength required, but there's a lot of what we do, it's mental. And what it's talking about there, it's mental. Being strong in the Christian life, it's not so much, you know, it doesn't matter how strong you are physically, but it's a mental thing. Our battle, where's our battleground? Where do we battle with? Listen, man, we battle in our mind. Huh? Satan attacks our mind, our thoughts, and so our battle is with the will, right? That's the thing that we're battling for right there. It's the same way there. So we think about that. I remember there was military. Listen, in the military, there's some physical stuff that's required. But you know what? I had a fear. I know it's pride is nothing but pride. But I mean, all you men and ladies too, you can probably relate to this. Listen, I didn't want to fail. Man, we got to go through boot camp. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I just said, man, I hope I can. Had a guy that he was a Marine, and we were good friends rooming together when I went in. He said, look, man, he'd already been in and out. He said, let me tell you what to do. He said, just blend in, man. He said, don't stand out on either end. He said, don't be a moron on this end, and don't stand out on that end. Just get in the middle, man. I said, okay, good advice. I tried to do that, you know. But we went in, and they picked us to be the drill team at boot camp. That way we performed every Friday at graduation, and we went on to some air shows. And they're the guys that flip the rifles around, man, and we practice all the time. In Florida, they have black flag. If they black flag the day when it's way up there, upper 90s, and the humidity's real bad, they kind of curtail how much marching on what they call the grinder, you know, how much marching you did, but not the drill team, man. And old Chief McGurran, you know, he was our chief, our drill company chief. And so we had to do a lot. We had to learn a lot more than the other companies. And so we had this special time. And so we had to run. They'd have us running. I'll demonstrate. He'd have us running, and we'd have to run at high port arms. So you're running with that rifle. You know, you had to run a mile. Well, shoot, man, before I went in, you know, I mean, I hadn't been taking care of myself all that good, the culture that we lived in and all. And, I mean, running a mile without the gun was bad enough. So we run along there. And old Chief McGurran, come to find out, this guy got the bronze medal in the Pan Am Games for running the mile. Wasn't that great? You know, this guy wasn't out of shape or nothing. So Chief McGurran, he'd be running there yelling at us. He'd run alongside of us, and we're all in this group, man, carrying that rifle. Running, he'd run alongside of us, yell at us. Then he'd run back to the back. He'd get to the back of the line. The guys that were going too slow, he was kicking them in the rear, like running. And then he would run backwards like this. He's running to you. Come on, run. And we're over there running like this and trying to hold a gun. I mean, man, that was life. And now somebody, some kid in here is thinking, man, I was going to go in the military. I don't think I'm going to go. But this is what he would kick us in the rear end and run back. He'd run backwards faster than we were running forward and do that. So you had to have endurance. But in the Christian soldier, it's mental. It's mental. It's right here. And you listen, you train physically. The physical stuff, they trained us for that. We went to PT every day. And we went out there to jumping jacks, to squat thrust, to push up. You do all that out there every day, every morning. Lovely day. They train you for that. But the middle, you know, your mind. You have to train your mind, you know, as well. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy right there. You know, it's can you endure mentally? You know, and we think about it, where do we need this endurance in Christianity? You know, you see it if you've been in a church a long time, pastor a long time. You know, a lot of people, man, we start out with enthusiasm, man, we're fired up about something. But then what happens, see, the time goes by. Everything's shiny when it's new, and everybody's excited. But what happens is it starts to fizzle out. You know, the day in, the day out, the drudgery of whatever it is. And after a while, man, now you realize that it takes, you know, perseverance. Endurance goes together. And it takes that, and you have to, it's just, and what happens, people start falling by the wayside. That's what happened to Paul. People start getting locked up, and hey, boy, this isn't as much fun as I thought. And that's why people had forsaken Paul. Listen, in the military, there's no quitting. Well, you know, I just don't think it's... No, you didn't sign up. You got a contract. They ain't got money invested in you. You're going to be there. You may spend your whole time in the brig, but you're going to be there. You're going to spend your time. And, you know, if you can go AWOL, absent without leave, there's a lot of AWOL Christians in Christianity today. Absent or deserting is another thing. It's the same difference. I was in the Navy, and we saw videos, and you think, well, them ships are made out of steel, but I'm going to tell you what, paint burns. You saw some pictures of, there was a quick picture of Pearl Harbor. And when you're at sea, now imagine this, the ship's on fire. Forestall, everybody saw the forestall fire. Well, you know, I'm tired of fighting the fire chief. I think I'll just go down and lay in the rack for a little while, knock off. It's been 8 hours. I've worked my 8 hours. No. Your life's at stake. You fight that fire till it's done. We fought a fire for 36 hours one time. If the arresting gear, I was on the air station, Naval Air Station, if they took the arresting gear on a Naval Air Station, it took 30-some hours to get it back on the line. Guess what? You just stayed there till it's done. You had to do it. On a ship, you had to do it because your life. Either that or you were going to be floating out there with the cello music playing in the background. You know, if you didn't save that ship, if you didn't save that ship, huh? I worked, when I went to Sicily, I got on, they put me on port and starboard duty. This means that we worked, I was a firefighter. 24 hours on, 24 hours off. 24 on, 24 off. Got to sleep during the 24 hours some, but you were going to have a 4-hour watch. No, on shore duty, I think we did 2 hours. 2-hour watch. When I was at sea, it was a 4-hour watch at some point in time. You think, well, that sounds pretty good. No, you got up early every single day. You got up every day, either got up to get off or you got up to go on. One Christmas Eve, I was on my 24 hours duty. The next year on Christmas Day, I was on my 24 hour duty. Nothing changed. Just every other day, unless you could get them to give you a day off and then you'd get 3 days off because you'd get your 2 normal days and 1 day off. I did that for a year and a half. A year and a half, day in, day out, holidays. It didn't make any difference what was going to go on. You know, I remember hunting season was coming. I remember back in the States, I knew what day it was. I was on duty, and I knew it was going to be the first day of the rifle season, which that's about all everybody did back those days. And the sun was coming up, and I think, oh, man, I felt like crying. I wanted to be on my first day. I wanted to be on my hunting trip with my dad, but I was on duty. I was on duty over in Sicily. You know, that's just that's the commitment that it takes. You know, when we think about, we don't know when the Lord's coming back. People have been saved a long time. I was talking with some pastors the other day at the Walmart about this, about wondering, you know, about the Lord coming back. And listen, you can be saved and you can be in a church a long time. A long time. Serving, it's not just... And I thought about the old saints and the people that's been in this church over the years, and the time Margie Dupree right there. Margie, 90 years old, or are you 91? 90. All right, I don't want to rush it, but anyway. 90 years old. When I come here, Margie was our piano player. She can't hear real good right now. Margie was a piano player. She was faithfully in this church for years. There was people that met her, Christine's mama. Ruth met her in this church. I'm going to tell you what. She didn't drive. If somebody bring her, she get somebody bring her down here. She's going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. She got down here all them years. Mary Patzel, Hazel Garcia. Mary Patzel died. She was up in her 90s. Man, they were charter. Mary Patzel was a charter member. I mean, she was here the whole time. They started off in a spec mission over here where they had to, I remember them telling me, her and Hazel, that the building didn't have heat or something, so they pull all the cars real close together, roll the windows down when the heater's on, have a Bible study through the cars. Had to holler down there through the cars. They'd go visitation with lanterns in their hands. I mean, telling me that before they built this church here, went through everything that they, I mean, over the years, wanting things to be different, but they can't always be that way. You know, they stuck it out. Those old saints, there's tons more of them, the people over the years that have done that, and just stick to it. That's what they could do, man. They taught Sunday school. They sang in choirs. Margie played the piano for years, and, you know, all those things that they did that. Endurance, you know, and the reason that we have what we have today is because somebody endured. Somebody was on duty and they endured that. The last point is entanglements. And we see in verse 4, and Paul said this to Timothy, he said, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And like I said, when I went in, I had to close on my back. When I went to the AV station, I had a car back home, but that was back home, and I didn't have nothing else. And it didn't matter what my hobbies were. It didn't matter what was going on in my life. I couldn't entangle myself with those cares right there. The only thing that we had, and all you guys that were in the military and ladies that were in the military, all of y'all, you know the same thing. It didn't matter. Everything else was on hold because we were serving. Man, we had something else that had a priority. Our personal life did not take priority over what was going on. And I'm telling you what, that's the way it ought to be, serving God too. Don't get a lot of amens on that one, I know. It ought to be that our personal life shouldn't take priority over God's business. I'm telling you what, because God's business is a lot more important than this, whatever we got going on in life. As I said, I spent two Christmases in Sicily. Man, I was a homesick pup. But I was on duty. I was on duty. Old Barney Fife told them boys, when are you going to lock them up in the jail? He said, remember, he said, when that steel door clangs shut, no more doing what you want to when you want to. No more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. that's what happens when you step on that A train, boy, and they take you down to boot camp and you get off the bus. That's about how it is right there. Entanglements of the world. Paul said that Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. That this present world took him away from God's work. And I think so many people, the reason that so many fall away and so many fizzle out is for the same thing, the affairs of this world. Those of us who are in the military were on what's called active duty. On duty. We understood what it meant. As Christians, we need to understand that God expects us to be on active duty. On duty. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the patience of the people here today. And Lord, I know the service was a little different, Lord, and I was thinking about our veterans, Lord. And I just like to think about the veterans of the church and veterans of Christianity, Lord, your veterans as well, Lord, that have not been entangled in the affairs of this world, Lord, that they've been on duty and been on call. Lord, they're active, on active duty. We're thankful for them as well. Lord, it's my prayer today when we start thinking about this calling of yours, Lord, that might be somebody here that needs to answer that call. Lord, they feel you speaking to their heart about their salvation, Lord. Lord, what a blessing it's been. What a blessing it is, Lord. And I pray for them today if they're here. Lord, if they see need to come down the aisle, Lord, help me. Let me pray with them, Lord. And just lead them to you, point them to you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.